Welcome to the One Speed MMA podcast with yours truly,
Flying Travis Smitty. Mark.
You did it.
Oh. Okay, I'm Travis.
You are Travis. Hey, Travis.
It's great to be on again, guys.
Yeah, who else is here?
Carson.
Yep.
I am.
And we've got a second special guest. I mean, I feel like I'm almost a member of the podcast because I've been here before.
It's been over a year.
Yeah.
But you're not special. Well, now you are special. You're
I'm
not
special
regular.
Again.
Yeah, you're special again.
And now, introducing his very first podcast debut.
The guy with a broken phone.
Full of anxiety.
Oh, man, he's so anxious.
This podcast is going to be stats heavy.
Yeah,
very stats heavy. If you don't have
stats
something.
Stats guy doesn't have a way to look up stats.
Todd's going to be our fun facts man.
Yeah. What's up, everybody?
Todd Hare over there.
I'm back. For the first time.
Ex-trainer with, used to train Ryan Bader down in Arizona.
Yeah.
Convinced him to head over to Bellator.
I did that.
Yeah, now he's got no competition. Him or Rory McDonald.
Tried to see him naked in the locker room. Never worked.
Him and CB Dalloway.
It's good times.
The legitimacy of that gym went way downhill when Todd joined.
Or when I left.
Especially when you left.
When Todd left, Bellator went up.
It was a hard 6 months.
Are you talking about when being in the gym trying to see other guys naked or like?
Yeah, I think they kicked me out because of that.
Yeah. They're like, you've been hard for 6 months, Todd. Get the hell out of my gym.
Like, why are you here?
You're walking around with a raging boner. Anyway, this is going to be a debacle, but we'll get there. Where do we want to go first? Todd, once again with your phone not working.
Dude, this is so frustrating.
Let's talk John Jones while you can defend yourself. John Jones is the big, Todd Hare over here is the biggest John Jones nut hugger in the history of nut huggers.
Can I preface something on this whole thing? The problem with you loving John Jones is that you wouldn't even allow me to not be moved by him, just being like okay with him.
I mean, 5 years ago, we all loved him, right? Like,
yeah, nobody I can agree with that.
I mean, I don't know why you guys don't like him.
He was never my favorite fighter.
So open.
I just knew he was a way good, like, it's like Jordan. Like, Jordan's amazing, but he's not my favorite.
Well,
player.
I don't know that John Jones is my favorite fighter. He's up there.
I got text messages.
All right, let's talk
about
John Jones. What'd you put over
Todd, pull up those text messages.
There's plenty. So, Ryan Bader, obviously. Both Diaz brothers.
What about the
maybe GSP?
So, just a lot of former fighters then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's when I used to primarily watch MMA. The glory years.
All right, Travis, you're talking former fighters. Who's your current active favorite fighter?
That's a good question.
Somebody that can't make weight at 265.
I want to say Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's A, a trendy answer. B, he hasn't fought MMA in over a year.
Three, not true, because it's whoever can't make 265.
Yeah.
Three, it's Conor McGregor's far too skinny for me to make him be my favorite.
It's whatever WWF fighter is going to fight.
Brock Lesnar would be my number one. I mean, honestly, if he would make a comeback, I was really...
Especially
because
of the Canada thing. Yeah.
When John Jones called Brock Lesnar out, I got so excited. I mean, I really wanted to see that fight happen. I thought that'd be good for the sport. I thought that would be, you know, just a really competitive battle between two top-tier athletes and competitors in mixed martial arts. And it's just really disappointing that one out of the two of them can't pass a drug test, that being John Jones.
Well, wait.
That was in like almost signed, right? No, he's going to fight Stipe. John Jones was supposed to fight Stipe.
What do you mean? They both can't.
The Brock Lesnar thing was just a prank.
They both can't pass a drug test.
Well, that was the joke, is that...
You're joking. Todd, check that.
Apparently we love steroid use here.
If it was those two, I say do it.
No, could you imagine, though, if Brock Lesnar is cutting to 265... Could you imagine him fighting John Jones at
Here's what the UFC needs to do. No weight limit. Pull this back like 1996 style. No weight limit, no drug restrictions.
Eye gouges, fish hooks, ball kicks.
All of it. And put John Jones in an octagon with Brock Lesnar. Let's just see what happens. Pull Big John out of there. Let's not even have a referee.
Let's make it a decagon. Let's get it a little bit better.
Yeah,
a decagon.
Yeah.
Add an angle in there.
A septagon. let's cut some angles off. Get rid of two of those walls. A septagon.
Just a line. Just one giant wall.
A septagon would be seven. Sextagon would be six. Sextagon, which is a whole different type of octagon. I'm sure there's sites dedicated to sextagons, too.
No, I saw Brock Lesnar live, and it's crazy how freaking giant that guy is. Like,
we went to the WWE in high school.
Was
remember
he there?
Seeing everybody? No, Brock Lesnar wasn't, but the Big Show was.
Trish Stratus was for sure.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was for sure. The four-way tag team women's match.
Yeah, we've had plenty of discussions about that.
The only thing that would have kept me from my mission at the time.
Ah, yeah. But I mean, I remember thinking everyone, all those WWE guys were really small, except for like the Big Show. And I remember he was giving high fives as he walked out, and his hands were like gigantic.
Was like in the third row.
Yeah,
high fiving people. Yeah,
he put his hand over my entire body and high fived people way up top. We got pretty good tickets.
We did.
And then we ran over and high-fived everybody. Ray Mysterio,
we had to maul a bunch
there.
Of 12-year-olds in order to get there. I mean, they had seats closer than
we
did.
Yeah, they did. They did. We just stepped right over them. Anyway, go back to defending Jon Jones. Let's hear it.
I don't know what there is to defend, though. Like, he's the greatest fighter of all time.
Steroid use, crashing into people, okay, and then leaving.
Yeah. I'll be it. Yeah.
Cocaine use in Brazil and then peeing hot right either before or after a fight. Like, sure, what you do in your free time, that's fine. But if you're going to be tested by USADA, you probably shouldn't be snorting coke.
Well, I mean, okay.
Let's say coming from somebody that's never been to Brazil.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm sure Jon Jones is doing cocaine out, like, in the States, too. Like, I don't think it's just a one-time thing. But, like, there's a book called Relentless. Have you guys heard of it?
I saw that movie Unbroken.
Yeah, it's similar. It's written by Michael Jordan's trainer. He trained.
I thought you were going to read this.
I scripted this out, actually.
I thought you were going to say his dead dad.
Yeah. He trained him, too. He was his bookie.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll let you talk now. Sorry.
Yikes, too soon. Yeah. No, so he trained Jordan. He trained Kobe. And he talks about how, like, these guys that are, like, the greats, that are not just, like, you know, you're LeBron good, but, like, you're Jordan great, if you know what I mean, Trev?
Yikes. Yeah.
And they all, like, they're all wired the same way. Like, Jordan had his gambling. Tiger had his, you know, sex
porn.
With a gajillion people.
Kobe had his raping.
Yeah. Like, there's, like, this dark side that they all have. And that, because that they have that, that's what fuels their greatness. And so I look at Jon Jones is the exact same way as I look at those guys, and that, yeah, you want them to be nice guys and, you know, shake hands and, you know, not butt in line or whatever they're doing in their spare time. But the reason why they're so great is partially because they are so wild. So, like, I understand not liking Jon Jones because of the drug testing, like, as far as, like, the steroids, but he did cocaine on the weekend and then beat the shit out of Cormier, like, that's great. Like, that's cool to me. I don't know. Like, I don't. Well, it doesn't bug me.
I look at Conor McGregor. There's a lot of weird, like, Snapchat and, like, Twitter videos and stuff coming out with Conor McGregor. And you watch him, man, and he is on something for sure. He's doing the weird jaw stuff and, like, peacocking. And it's like, all right, dude. I don't know if it's cocaine, but that dude is on something.
I think when you're in that level, I don't know. Part of me thinks, like, when you're on that level, when I look at Conor McGregor and I'm like, he runs the world of his, like, his. Yeah, he owns his world. So what will drugs enhance at that point? Like, he can have whatever he wants, whenever he wants it from, whoever he wants it from, right? So, like, and I can see that perspective for sure with a lot of people. But then I look at somebody like Anderson Silva, who for the most part seems like a Boy Scout, although he did
test positive for dick pills too, right?
Yes.
Well, it wasn't dick pills. I mean, it was steroids, right?
It was estrogen blockers, but yeah.
But I don't know, that's the same as like what you're talking about with the dark, like, turnable gambling streak or like dark skeletons in the closet that are really...
I know. I bet you Anderson Silva's got some weird shit in his life.
Yeah, I mean, just think of like all the stuff that we've collectively done that we never got caught for.
I've never done a thing.
Yeah. Jon Jones just happened to get caught. But the thing that's kind of crazy to me about it is, so you think about, like, he did cocaine and then fought Cormier. So you think of Jordan with the flu game, which I think is common knowledge that it was a hangover game. But this dude in this book is talking about how he didn't say Jordan, but he was saying players during the 90s, or a certain player during one game at halftime went and drank like 3 beers just to go out on court and just tell the guys, like, look, I'm whooping your ass, and I just did, like, took 3 beers. That I think they
I think
that
was Stone
that
Cold
kind of
Steve
stuff.
Austin, and I think it was at WrestleMania. Yeah, he didn't go into the locker room. He did it in front of the whole damn crowd.
But I think they're, like, somebody like John is doing that just to test himself almost. It's like you've beat the shit out of everybody, and this is like, well, what?
He's too way insecure to do that kind of
testing,
well,
no,
in
but
my
that's,
opinion.
No, but that's the thing. It is an insecurity thing because Jon Jones admits, like, he's one of the most insecure people that there are out there. And a lot of this is, like, he would do these things, so if he did lose, he had something to blame. But he just continued to win. to your point, Todd, it reminds me of there was a 30 for 30 on a point guard way back in the day that was like a huge heroin addict.
John Stockton.
yeah. Went to Gonzaga. I'm not going to name any names. played for the Utah Jazz, Stockton to Malone, you know, that kind of stuff. But same concept. He was like, I would shoot up. But he's like, before games, I would find my dealer outside of the arena. I would shoot up. And he's like, one of the games I was the highest was my highest scoring game of all time. So, I mean, I think there is a lot of weird psychological, like, not psychological issues, but I mean, everyone's got like weird quirks, right? And there's just happens to be like, I'm the best in the world and I can still be the best in the world while doing this. And I can prove it because I can keep my life together. And then eventually it teeters out of control and they can no longer do it.
Right. And then, and I think you, I don't know, my opinion with John, like, do I condone what he does? No, obviously. But I wonder if you get the fighter that we all like the guy that's in the cage, you know, first title shot ever, and he runs out there and flying knees. Who was it? Machida, Shogun, or whoever. I wonder if you get that without the wild side. And so
I'm okay with the wild side, and I was never arguing that he wasn't the greatest ever. I've only ever said that I think he's the greatest ever by a country mile. People, ooh, what about DJ? Like, the thing is that John Jones goes to, and I've said this multiple times, he goes to wherever the other fighter's good at and he beats him at it. Like, he's nutty. But it's, I don't have to love him outside of the MMA. Like, I never wanted him to ping and not fight Brock Lesnar. You just weren't letting me have it. You would not let me have that. You were dead set on us loving the hell out of him.
I don't know how you don't love the guy. If you love MMA, I don't know how you don't love somebody like John Jones.
I love his talent. Like, it's like Jordan. Like, would I have wanted Jordan not to be there so that the Jazz could have got a title? No.
But Jordan, no. I mean, conspiracy theory Jordan say he took his 2 years off because of some of his indiscretions, right?
Gambling.
And so he took 2 years off out of his career, and John Jones at this point has already lost 2-3 years plus
four.
Whatever band he's got. Yeah, I mean,
plus 4 years on top of that, yeah.
And it's like seriously deteriorating the sport, in my opinion. I mean, like, he's one of the biggest, I think, outside of Conor McGregor. I feel like John Jones is the biggest draw in the UFC right now, and he can't.
And that's what's so
they
sad.
They can't put him in a card.
That's what's so sad about it. And, like, for the record, I have as many reasons to hate this guy as anybody. Like, the two UFCs I've been to, like, he was supposed to headline and got pulled from both of them. So, the area where I think people can crucify him is the last one with this, you know, testing positive. Like, you have so much on the line. You've been gone out of the sport. Like, you're doing all the right things. Like, he wins the fight, says the right things, and then to test positive for, you know, the whatever it is, Turnabol or whatever it is that he tests positive for. It's like, yeah, it might have been tainted supplements, and that's what I hope is, which, you know, that'll be like a year ban instead of 4 years. But at the same time, it's like, dude, why are you taking any supplements? Like, with what's on the line, like, don't take anything. Like, don't.
Well, no, do take them. But, like, literally, all you have to do is just send them into Nevada or USADA.
Well, and that's what they're.
To Nevada.
That's what they're
to Nevada.
At,
right? Yeah. I was going to say, right? Jeff Nowitzki, and I got caught between the two.
I feel like this, it's so much more rampant. There's so many. So, John Jones is the obvious scapegoat. And who knows why he didn't pass a drug test, right? Because I feel like so many more people, to your point, are doing them, but just not doing them in a way that they're ending up passing a result. I don't know. Have you guys seen the Icarus?
That's what I was actually going to say. I was going to ask if anybody had seen Icarus because I haven't seen it yet.
Before you get into that, hold on. There was a really interesting thing. So on Fight Pass, to your point, on Fight Pass, I was watching, they do this like weird thing where they just show fight after fight after fight after fight. It just streams. It was Nick Lentz versus Chad Mendez like 5 or 6 years ago. Chad Mendez had Nick Lentz had dropped to 145 and was undefeated at 145 and fought Chad Mendez. The reason I bring this up is Joe Rogan said he started training with Mike Dolce. He dropped 12 pounds, or he dropped to 145 and put on 12 pounds of muscle. And it was like, how did you drop to 145 and put on 12 pounds of muscle? And you look at these guys back in that day and they were ripped. And it's like, well, that sounds like Turnabol, right? You don't put on a ton of muscle mass and you lean out.
I gotta get Turnabol.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like 80 watching pounds. The videos I did, I'm like, man, that's like pretty good. Like, your cardio goes up, but you don't get bulky. Like, it sounds perfect for any person. Anyway, yeah. So now
it sounds like that stuff is pretty common. Like, that's the stuff that everybody's pinging in baseball. Like, I don't.
Mike Dolce is now no longer relevant, and all of his guys are missing weight. It's like, huh, that's weird. Mike Dolce was relevant for 5 years.
I think
years.
They missed weight, though. I think he's still...
No, now they're missing weight.
I think he's still got a streak going. You might need to fact check that when my phone comes back on. But I'm pretty sure
Dolce... I should fact check that.
Dolce hasn't had somebody miss weight. Yeah, I don't think.
I think there are people out there. The one... I'll give a brief synopsis of Icarus and just tell everybody to just watch it. It's a great documentary. It essentially starts with some guy who's a cyclist that decides, hey, I want to try to dope. You know, cycling is rampant with doping, so I just want to try it, see how good I can get. And within 30 minutes, the documentary is about an hour and a half, I think 2 hours long. And within 30 minutes, he gets hooked up with this guy from Russia, of all places, and who's like a perfectionist at this and knows exactly how to dope. He knows the cycles and he knows how to pass drug tests when they come around. He knows when they're going to be testing at certain levels and when they won't be. And so within a half an hour of this documentary, it absolutely turns from this guy's own journey of, hey, I'm going to try to be as good of a cyclist as I can be with doping, to, hey, I've got to do the rest of this documentary on this Russian guy who's now getting, who's now being involved in all these probes after the Olympics in Sochi that it was determined. I mean, the doping scandal was widely publicized. So it eventually turns into that. And this, I wish I could remember the Russian dude's name, but, he becomes the highlight of the documentary. And I feel like there are people like this guy. I'm going to call him Anatoly, cause I feel like that's probably what his name
probably
is.
Vladimir.
No, it's Anatoly for sure. So Dyatulya was out there and he was just an expert at knowing the ins and outs of these drugs and how they affect people and how they affect and testing their urine like every week just to see where their levels were at so that he would know when they were going to be able to, when they were going to piss out and when they weren't. And I feel like there are people out there. I'm not going to throw stones at Mike Dolce or anybody else. I have no idea who these people are, but there've got to be this one Russian dude, Anatoly, cannot be the only person out there that is that good at the science. There's got to be dozens of these people in every top level of sports.
Did you guys listen when Jordan was on?
But management just send you steroids.
Well, before he was even a professional fighter, if I remember right, he just got a care package in the mail.
Management will send steroids to their athletes, and you know that freaking, what is it? John Jones's management. Those dudes are probably all over.
To be clear, we also should clear that he said that he never took them, and he was not on it. He just said that it was sent to him.
Yeah. Well, Jordan was one of those guys that he admitted the psychological thing was, if he knew he could be the best in the world, there's no way that he probably wouldn't have used steroids. But he didn't know if he could ever get there, even with the use of steroids. So he'd rather be a clean fighter. And most people start using steroids because they're at a level where they believe that they could be the best in the world. And if you could be the best in the world and make a ton of money for 5 years and then piss hot and not necessarily lose anything, because most of the people that have pissed hot have lost absolutely nothing, most people would do it. So anyway, Johnny Hendricks was on the Mike Dolce diet when he missed weight.
Maybe. I don't know. No, I'll have to look
maybe.
It up.
It's right here on my phone.
We got one guy with a fact-checking phone and one guy without.
All I had to do is Google which Dolce fighters miss weight. Thiago Alves, which was like 6 years without a fight.
Right?
So Hendricks was the last one. Alves was during a fight with Jim Miller, which was a long time ago.
I think what you're – because I don't think Hendricks has been with Dolce for a few years, like since he's been the champ, actually.
No, it was
just barely. Once he hopped off of Dolce, that's when he started missing weight. The only reason I'm doubting this is I remember seeing
January 7th, 2017. Hendricks missed weight with his fight with Magny.
I don't think he was with Dolce.
But he wasn't with Dolce.
Mike Dolce blames coaches for fighters missing weight since start of early
– Yeah, see? I win.
Todd, pull up your phone with facts.
Well, Dolce was also with Cyborg when Cyborg almost died.
So the reason I'm bringing that up is I remember just barely, because somebody missed weight and Dolce was all over it, and he's saying, "Hey, you know my team. No, nobody's ever missed weight or whatever with that." So that's why I'm skeptical on it. So
I've never missed weight on Dolce.
I think it leads to a conversation. I remember watching. In fact, I remember watching it when I was roommates with you, Carson, Bigger, Faster, Stronger. And Icarus kind of led me to the same conclusion, which is like this has gone on for so long. And there are so many instances that we know about.
Todd's okay, right. Yeah. I am wrong.
Bam.
Justin's going to interrupt me all the time with telling how he's
sorry,
wrong.
We're still talking about Icarus. I'm past this. It's all right. Bigger, Faster, Stronger.
So both documentaries about how widespread this issue is. So like there are so many instances that we know about, and I would guess five times as many that we don't know about, of top-level athletes using performance-enhancing drugs.
And I also feel like it's going to be an issue at some point. It's like a witch hunt. It's going to be so impossible because pretty soon it's going to be genetics. It's going to be down to, like, they're going to be altering genetics, and you can't do anything about it.
Burning them at the stake when they piss hot for steroids. Well, that'll change it.
That'll do it.
Yeah. I think it's something, I mean, you look at why the UFC went to USADA, and Brendan Schaub, who we all know Justin, who Justin wishes he was.
Yeah. I mean, we have the same haircut. He's got milky brown skin, like, yeah. You know.
Everything that Justin wants to be in life.
He dated Ronda Rousey.
So he brought up this point that the reason why the UFC even brought in USADA and why they brought in Reebok wasn't to, you know, really clean up the sport. It was to sell the UFC. It was a business decision that, and it's not to shift gears too much, but it's a very common thing in businesses where you hire a CEO or you bring in somebody to help you sell the company. And these companies will make really short-term decisions.
I've seen Silicon Valley.
Yeah, see? You drive up the stock, and then that allows you to sell the business. And so I'm sure WME, IMG, or whoever the company is that owns UFC, like, I'm sure they just hate USADA. Like, all their fighters, they're losing everybody. Like, and I don't think it's going to stick around long-term.
I was actually thinking that. Like, I just can't see how USADA, after losing Jon Jones, you lose a little of the old fighters that are kind of...
And Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, do you want to watch Vitor Belfort will kick people when he's, you know, juiced, or do you want to watch him now where he's, you know, man boobs or whatever he's got? Like,
he's still built better than I am.
Hey, yeah, me too.
Like, losing Jon Jones, I think, is the big one. We lost effectively his whole prime except for two fights, which one of them wasn't even real against OSP. Yeah. So I can't see it sticking around after. I actually think they'll cut the contract early.
I wonder what
which contract are they? USADA. USADA's contract.
They should.
Do we know how long it goes for? I don't know.
I think
anything
it's six
about
years.
I
just feel like I'm beginning to lose sight of what the morality is behind the performance enhancing drugs, like that campaign.
You got to go back to Pride. When you look at Pride, where everyone was juiced to the gills, it didn't quite seem right.
But
Pride, it was a freak show.
But Pride, you're talking about, so it's not just performance enhancing drugs that Pride had an issue with, right? You're talking about, like,
judging.
Legitimate issues with, like, the legitimacy of the sport.
Yeah.
Like, not of, like, guys throwing fights, of it being set up that this guy's going to win over this guy and this is how it's going to happen. Like, borderline WWF style. So that, I get it, like, that significantly affects, you know, the quality of the sport. Whereas I don't see, like, at this point, mixed martial arts has been around for 20 plus years now, and you're getting guys, I mean, Jon Jones was before his time, and I think a lot more guys are going to grow up like him, that was the sport that they went to. They're wrestlers. MMA has been around their whole lives. When we were growing up, it was football and basketball, I felt like, and if you're an idiot, you'd play baseball. But like,
or a true American like Hulk Hogan
or soccer.
But those are the two sports you went, and I feel like mixed martial arts can work its way into that, and so you're going to get guys that have been working their whole lives in the discipline of mixed martial arts, and so we have top level guys, and I just don't see it being the same thing as Pride, because I think that it's done in such a cleaner way nowadays that I don't get.
I
don't get where the harm comes.
Isn't the moral issue that one guy's doing it and the other guy isn't? I mean, because if both guys have the agreement that it's like, hey, like, take whatever you want, then there's no more, like, there's nothing moral wrong with that.
Yeah,
right?
I don't see that. I worry more about the psychological issues. So, I mean, and this is a whole nother conversation that's probably too big to get into, but you look at the WWE guys, the Chris Benoit's, the Lex Luthers, all of those dudes that, like, did steroids their entire lives, took a bunch of shots to the head over and over and over again, were taking probably pain pills for all the things they were on. And then just lost their shit and ended up, like, killing people. Like,
that's one.
I know. Hernandez, well, no.
Like,
well,
like, yeah. I mean, think you can find examples in
every sport.
Of sports,
yeah,
right?
But you can't say that Aaron Hernandez most likely wasn't on steroids either.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
I definitely wouldn't blame it on steroids. I feel like if you're working 250 plus days out of the year on the road, like, you've got to be kind of wired different anyways, and you're just taking things to kind of supplement your lifestyle. I don't think steroids are to blame for that. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, though.
So this is something I had never thought about until we discussed this a little bit before. But Lyoto Machida on Reddit as well and Flow Combat said, I don't know how far it has been a benefit for the sport. We are not an Olympic sport. MMA is entertainment oriented. So, I mean, even Lyoto Machida, who obviously...
Who's probably done steroids.
Well, he admitted that he was on DHEA, right? Who knows whether or not...
Fancy word for piss.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, you've got someone that's been in the sport for a long period of time that's like, hey, man, I don't know if this is great for the sport. This isn't the Olympics. Which is a good sign of, like, hey, I probably use steroids in my life. Black House is no pretty much like.
I think you mean Brazilians.
Brazilians, Black House, Ovo Now. It's kind of known that a lot of steroids pass in and out of there. I'm guessing most of MMA guys have at least done some steroids. But nonetheless, we finally have someone coming out and saying USADA is not good for the sport.
I still think that it is Olympic sport caliber. I just hope it doesn't become an Olympic sport. Just make all the smaller disciplines into Olympic sports.
Well, I think this goes back to a conversation that Carson and I had over a year ago downstairs from here about spectacle versus technical.
Yeah, you love Bellator. Get into that.
I love the spectacle of the sport. Like, that is what brought me into mixed martial arts to begin with. That's what I love about it now. That's why I will watch a fight with fatties that may be boring in order to watch a fight with two of the biggest men, the biggest, baddest men on the planet that could very likely beat up anybody else because I want to see the spectacle of it. And so when I bring the PED perspective into this, then I feel like on my level, I want to see the biggest guys, the best trained guys, the strongest guys, the fastest guys. I want to see a bigger, faster, stronger guy fight another bigger, stronger, faster guy. Right. And so I like the spectacle out of it. And so to me, I tend to agree with Lyoto Machida where it's like, look, we're not all trying to be Boy Scouts here and like have this be a I don't know, like a true, I don't even want to say Olympics because the Olympics are tainted with steroids as well.
Yeah.
But like we watch fighting because we want to see two of the best fighters in the world fight each other and which one can beat the other one. And I just don't see how PEDs tarnishes that. I feel like it enhances it at some level.
Do you guys ever feel that there will be a conversation about sports and or MMA that doesn't include talks about steroids? Like, you talk about Barry Bonds and Maguire and all of those guys, and it's like, oh, they have an asterisk next to their name.
Well, no, I think it's because they're everywhere, and you look at how different leagues test differently. The NFL doesn't test for HGH. So Adrian Peterson tears his ACL, which is like a minimum 12-month rehabilitation process. He rehabilitates in 6 months and wins the MVP the next year.
Almost has the career year off, like 6 yards off, right?
He went to China and Peyton got Manning, stem cell.
Peyton Manning has like neck tendons fused, neck nerves fused together, and all of a sudden he's back throwing. Like, he has no nerves, no feeling in his neck whatsoever, but yet he's able to throw. And
you've been watching Al Jazeera? You've been watching Al Jazeera? Do you know?
Al Jazeera TV.
What's that?
Al Jazeera TV, or what? You?
Yeah, they're the ones that broke the Peyton Manning on HGH.
Yeah,
that he had his wife order for him. But.
It's just everywhere. Like, I feel like
communist.
Like I said, I mean, there's a portion of it that we know about, and there's five times that we don't know.
Well,
about,
and there's a whole sure bunch that we don't understand because we don't have a ton of money to buy like state of the art, like factory grade steroid. You know, we're going back to the days of high school when we had people driving across the border to Mexico and buying injectable steroids that they would bring back to high school.
I don't think it's like that. I think it's like that maybe for the lower
tier. No, that's what I'm saying.
But like for the upper tier, like there are people in China making bath salts and like chemically engineering marijuana. Like, I think there are enough.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so John Jones and Aaron, like the big time athletes are getting legitimate steroids that aren't going to show up in blood or piss tests because they're so genetically manufactured to do exactly what they're supposed to do. Like Turnbull. You're not going to gain a bunch of weight. Your cardio is going to go up, and you're just going to get stronger and faster. And it's like, wow, that's the perfect steroid for MMA. Whereas another steroid that's going to make you bulk up yet not make you slow is going to be perfect for the NFL. You know, obviously, all of the bikers, Lance Armstrong and all of those guys, aren't taking something. They're not taking bulking agents. They're taking steroids that help their muscles repair faster and then help their cardio. It makes sense, but... It's something that I don't think that we fully understand. It's almost like designer drugs, right? Kids that are doing like freaking marijuana and cocaine in high school are doing or black tar heroin are doing the low of the low. When you finally have money for designer drugs, it's going to be a whole different thing than when you're taking freaking high school age
Gucci
or high
heroin.
School money freaking drugs. And I liken it to the same thing. And so... I mean, it is what it is. But here's my question, and Todd's gonna need his phone for this because I don't know if he's
it's
gonna
still
be able
broken,
to.
Man, I don't know what's going on.
But
with this thing.
Is there a fight that you guys are looking forward to coming up? On the last podcast, we kind of talked about how there's a lot of people that aren't fighting right now. Cain Velasquez is out. You know, I don't think Mark Hunt has a fight. Condit's
called
back.
UFC employees. I think that's what they're called.
No, they're contracted, so they're not even UFC employees. That would. get them health insurance and probably better pay if they were.
You went the wrong way with that. I was just saying they're the ones that aren't fighting. Like, nobody in the UFC is that is actually in the top 15 in any weight division.
Well, that's the other, I know we want to shift gears a bit, but that's another reason that's hard with fighting in particular is injuries are real and they affect cards for months. And it's
well, this isn't because of injuries, in my opinion, some of them, but it's mostly just because people are holding out for the money fight. Everybody in every weight division wants to fight Conor and make $15 million.
The Conor belt.
So, I mean, I guess to the question that you wanted to ask, which you didn't, which was why has there been a little bit of disillusionment for a certain population of MMA fans that have loved it from the beginning? And I feel like there's a couple of reasons that go into that. And one of them is just fighters holding it like Conor McGregor's going to come back and fight Nate Diaz again. Like, really? That's what we're going to do? And
but are you going to watch?
Probably.
1,000% we're
going
to watch.
Well, no. So let's talk about this, right? Are you going to spend your time and go out of your way to watch Tony Ferguson versus Kevin Lee and DJ versus Ray Borg? Or are you going to hold off until Conor finally fights Nate Diaz again? Like, what's going to actually
watch
get you to watch?
I would watch Conor whoever he fought, though. Yeah. I mean, so that's a little bit of a different... Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Ferguson Lee is pretty amazing.
I'm intrigued with Ferguson Lee. I would have
preferred Khabib, but...
But, I mean, you're going to be at the Stanford game.
I will, so I'll watch it recorded.
Utes game.
Utah versus Stanford.
We know what you're talking about.
I mean, so that's...
I went to a BYU game. Did I share this on any of the podcasts? So I went to a BYU game.
With your grandpa?
Yes, yes. And I was...
How many years ago was this?
Weeks.
Okay, cool.
And so I was raging. I was raging that I couldn't have a damn Coca-Cola with caffeine in it.
You can.
The week after, those sons of bitches freaking... I was so mad.
You want to know why? Because God knew that... God wanted to put you that trial before
I'll
you,
never go back.
So you could...
I'll never
so
go
could
back.
Make it through it.
I'll never go... Actually, I might go back this year and going straight to...
Well, the tickets are soon going to be free because they're so terrible they're going to have to give them.
Anyways, what fights are you guys looking forward to?
Yeah, I'll be the old school guy. I'm pumped for GSP and Bisping. I just want to see what happens. We all know if GSP wins, he's going to fight Conor, and that's going to be a crazy spectacle. Like,
you think they're going to fight at 185 though, or is he going down to 170?
He'll go down. It's no risk for GSP with a ton of upside. Like, it's a very smart fight for him because if he loses, then he's like, yeah, well, I fought somebody at 185. He can still go down. But if he wins, then it creates one of the biggest fights.
I feel like there's no downside for Bisping either.
No.
I think regardless, he's retiring. So, like, he fought GSP and makes a ton of money and walks out, or he
his
beats
eyes are
GSP
crossed
and,
enough. He can't
keep
Hey, man, he almost lost his eye. You have some respect for my boy Bisping, man. I've loved that guy since Tough 2. Yeah,
well, listen, if he comes at you,
you'll get on your moral high horse and hate him.
Yeah, I mean... If he pisses hot, man, he can do all the drugs he wants. He can take a beer in and do an interview and break it and say, wow, he is the dude that drops inappropriate slurs and is not PC at all.
That's a European thing, man.
Is he okay with women talking about routes?
Oh, freaking Cam Newton.
But yeah.
Oh, I watched freaking Stephen A. Smith talk about that today, and he's a freaking Cam Newton nut hugger, and he finally had to be like, yeah, he said something he shouldn't have.
Cam Newton's amazing. You hold your Smith or hold your tongue, Stephen A. Smith. But no, you're excited
he
for.
Still admitted that. Like, oh, I still love the guy. he should be careful what he says.
No, you were saying the old school fights, GSP, Bisping. I actually am way excited for that card.
I've got the card in front of me. That's actually a pretty good card. If you want to see it, cause
yeah, I don't have
working.
A phone anymore. It's fresher than anything on the planet.
Why don't you take your shirt off and see if the phone works?
Like super juice for Garbrandt and Dillashaw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll be a great fight.
I'm really excited for that. And then.
I don't know if Dillashaw has a chance, man. If he couldn't beat Cruz, how in the world is he going to beat Garbrandt?
Cruz is one of the best fighters of all time.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And
Dillashaw made
different,
not Dillashaw,
different styles too, maybe. But
Garbrandt made him look silly, which made me sad.
It's a good fight. I'm excited for that one. I'm excited if he wins that for him to drop by him. I mean Garbrandt. To drop down and fight DJ. I think that'll be a pretty cool fight.
Yeah, but DJ wouldn't fight Dillashaw.
Well, because he wants to, you know, break the record or whatever. Yeah, he's fighting some nobody that...
I'm a big fan of him going and actually fighting that bodybuilder. That never happened. Really pissed about that.
Yeah, MMA just needs fighters that have personality. Like, that's what I feel like was so good about MMA, in, you know, 6-8 years ago, whatever. And that's what it's missing now. I mean, Garbrandt, I feel like, has it. I like him a lot. But that's why Tyron Woodley can't, even though he's the best, he can't get a fight with Bisping or GSP.
It's just because he complains. He's got a personality, but he just complains. If he didn't complain as much and just ran his mouth and just jawed, like Kevin Lee, right? Kevin Lee was absolutely hated forever, and now he talked himself into an interim title shot.
So it's either like you've got no personality or you've got way too much personality, and you're just, and it's almost a WWF.
Have you guys watched Mike Perry?
No.
Oh, dude, you need to go watch Mike Perry. Oh. That's your homework after all of this. But you're going to say something, Todd. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's either that. You either have really, really good fights that.
We're gonna excuse Travis. He's got to go.
What the hell, Justin?
He's got to go a long loss.
That was the plan. Was just to have him just leave.
No, it's all right. He can leave here and go to some random wedding. We'll sell him out. He's gonna break some stuff on his way out.
Remember to tell those people we love him.
Which people? The people that we don't know.
You're fine. You give me the Jason Christ ball.
Jason Christ.
Goodness gracious. We'll cut all this out. This will be out in editing. Probably not, though. We'll do it live.
It's good for color. No, I think it's either you either have like really good fights that people that are really into fighting want to watch, or you have big fights like you know, that you're casual fan, or with the Conor effect where people that don't even watch fights watch.
Got a spectacle like Travis.
Right. Yeah. And I think the
Bellator.
What might start happening with some of these smaller promotions is the Justin Gaethje type of thing, where you have fighters that are starting to get groomed a little bit, like boxing, where you have somebody that comes in 21-0 and then makes their UFC debut, where that starts to become more of the norm, rather than hopping in at 6-0 or 7-0 like back in the olden days or whatnot. So
you obviously don't listen to the podcast.
I listen to some.
Now, the only reason I say that is we always talk about how you don't know who you are as a fighter until you take your first loss. And obviously, there's people like John Jones, Daniel Cormier's even, other than losing to Jones, has been really, really good. But, like, you can't truly become your best self until you lose and kind of overcome that. Conor and Nate
Diaz.
I
took that from a whole bunch of ex-UFC champions that all they were in a round table and they all said it. And
Matt Hughes. Yeah.
It wasn't Forrest Matt Hughes.
Forrest Griffin.
No.
Who was it then?
It was Frank Mir, Tito Ortiz, Mark.
You mean until you leave the UFC?
Well, some of them were still in it, but yeah, this was ages ago. And they all said that as champions, like you can't. And it's interesting to know that you have to. I just don't know if they're going to have that same, like, is refractory the right word? Like if you lose, if there's going to be enough chance now where the UFC is to come back and fight and win the title. Just because there's so much talent, I feel like a lot of fighters are going to get one shot, and they're going to maybe get the belt, lose it, and they'll never get a chance to get it again. It passes you by way too quick now.
And there's not enough personality to get yourself another title shot. Like Chael Sonnen, he talked himself into different title shots at different weight classes. Getting into personality, which was what Travis was talking about before he left, is very interesting to me in mixed martial arts, especially because in like karate and stuff, you're like taught to never use your martial arts unless you need to defend yourself, and you're taught to be very humble and very meek and different things like that. And so I think a lot of those guys take that mentality with them, and then other people obviously don't. And so I would think that in mixed martial arts, and I could be wrong, I never trained karate or anything like that, but I would think that might be why there's more meekness and a lot less talk. Because you get a lot of Brazilians that are like, I just want to go out there and fight. I don't want to talk. I don't want to sell fights. RDA says that. I just want to go out and fight. And it's like, cool.
Yeah, that's fine. Just don't bitch about not making money after. Yeah,
exactly. You'll get 50,000 show, 50,000 to win, but you're never going to be a Conor McGregor. You're not going to be even an Anderson Silva, because he's not that talented where he's so flashy that he is garnering more money because people want to watch how he's going to finish his opponent.
Well, you look at Demetrius Johnson. It's like he arguably one of, if not one of the greatest of all time, and he can't even get into nightclubs because nobody knows who he is, and he's making
his $300K channel gets 300 people. How dare you?
Yeah, that's You know who else's Twitch channel gets 300 concurrent viewers?
Yours?
Ava JJ.
We all know who that is.
Exactly. That's my point. That's exactly my point.
I watch Twitch. I have no idea. What did she play?
She gets 300 concurrent.
I barely even know what Twitch is.
Whatever we pay her to play.
Twitch sounds like back in like junior high when you have nothing to do and you go over to your buddy's house and he like won't give you the remote. And so you just watch him play video games the whole time.
I know that was, that's what it, that was usually porn.
Yeah. Well, simultaneously.
Yeah.
It's kind of that except for grown men doing it now.
Yeah, like porn.
Sounds about right.
So the other thing I want to talk about, so they finally announced Max Holloway's first title defense of his interim title. It's going to be, no, it's actually a full-on title, right? Because he beat Jose, and they made Conor give it up. So it's going to be Max Holloway.
Jose was the, Frankie Edgar, was the he was title the holder, champion. And yeah, Max Holloway beat him fair and square.
Yep. So he's going to fight Frankie Edgar. You guys interested in that fight?
Yeah, absolutely. No, oh, Frankie's my favorite fighter.
I love that fight.
Wait, now? Really? I thought it was Kane.
He's not a fighter.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, like, makes sense.
I mean, I would love for it to be Kane, but I mean,
he's still getting tested, so he's still a fighter, right?
I don't know.
Is in the USADA pool? I'm sure he is.
Well, if that's all I need to do to become a fighter, then everybody can start testing me. You can start calling me a UFC fighter.
Going back to USADA, and I don't mean to like digress completely, did you hear about the app that they wanted to create where it would track athletes' locations at all times so they could find them to test them? Makes sense. Like certain, well, I mean, yes,
and you
yes,
had to have
and
it,
no.
And you had to have an iPhone X, and you had to have it put your face
facial
up,
facial recognition, and
so nobody else could, just carry it around.
Oh, that's so, I mean, the Brazilians. I mean, they don't even have cell phones, right? Just kidding. Just kidding, Brazil.
Great. We have a Chael Sonnen ordeal on our hands.
So let's talk. I mean, I feel like Edgar, if there's anyone that he's going to be able to utilize, and obviously Max Holloway striking was top-notch against Jose Aldo, and Jose Aldo did go for a couple takedowns that he couldn't actually get, but I feel like Frankie Edgar's wrestling, I feel like Max Holloway is the perfect antithesis and the perfect person for Frankie Edgar to fight to actually get the title. Again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so
I've got nothing else to put to that. I agree with that. I love Frankie. And I really like Max Holloway now after the Jose fight. I thought he was been a great champion so far. We have kind of lost track of him though, a little bit, which is kind of great, I guess.
I kind of wonder what happened. Was he injured? Were they just trying to work out the
just
next
in Hawaii?
Fight?
Like, I think just in Hawaii, just hanging out.
Just doing ice, watching out for Dog the Bounty Hunter. And then Alistair Overeem versus Francis Ngannou. That's also on that card that was just announced.
Isn't it Ngannou?
Ngannou? Is it Ngannou?
Pretty sure it's Ngannou. This being a classic, Justin, I listen enough to know that you mispronounce some names.
Like which ones?
It's not Ngannou because it is N-N-O-U.
N-G-A-N-N-O-U.
I think it's Ngannou, though.
But where are the N's? At the end.
I don't know.
I know that Joe Rogan
where's the
says,
Y in Young J-check?
Joe Rogan says Ngannou.
And you might be right on that one. I might have eaten my own words there.
I'm right on everything, always.
Just like the...
Pick your battles.
Without a phone.
Let's talk.
Start throwing
listen,
accusations.
Let's pick talk, your battles. He'll mispronounce
you talk
something.
A big game.
Pick your battles.
I was just waiting.
You're coming in here talking a big game.
Should we talk about Mike Dolce again? I think.
Yeah.
I think there was something there.
You still have your phone, though, right? Okay, cool.
No,
let's
my
talk
phone
whatever,
is broken.
Let's talk about whatever we want then. You can't fact check me.
I like
nobody
how you're
can.
Still getting updates.
I'm getting texts, but I can't reply to them.
I'm too big for the internet, Todd. Don't you know that? Don't you know who I am?
I knew that. I knew that coming in here. That's why I'd never come on. Scared me a little bit.
Anyway, so Alistair Overeem, man. I mean, that's the number one thing, right? Let him juice again so Alistair Overeem can go back to being Overeem.
No, I think there's a lot of fights that are really, really good that we'll watch, but I don't think they're going to sell pay-per-views unless – you stack them on with a ton of other really good fights.
So here's my question. Does Tony Ferguson versus Kevin Lee outsell a DJ co-main event UFC? I guess it is a DJ.
Well, didn't they make DJ?
Wait. DJ's what? Not headlining. No, hold on. DJ isn't headlining. What I mean is, apples to apples, does Tony Ferguson, Kevin Lee outsell DJ as a main event?
Not so. For the record fight.
No?
I can go up to somebody that's a casual fan and say, how do you feel about Tony Ferguson? They're going to be like, what? If I say DJ, I think more people will know. I mean, we're really talking, like, we're splitting hairs here. I think the interest level is about even.
Do you think that, and Dana might have already said this because he's pretty blatant. Do you think Johnson versus Borg isn't the main event because, one, DJ doesn't sell pay-per-views, but two, they've already dropped out of a main event? I mean, they were supposed to be on like two cards ago. They were supposed to be the main event. Ray Borg got sick.
I think Kevin Lee's honestly the draw there.
I think so too. And I think it has implications of who McGregor might fight. If that's a really exciting fight, if one of them, you know, just stones the other one or something like that, then it might bring McGregor back to the lightweight division. I think that's the hope, at least, or the sell.
That either of those guys against Conor McGregor is a good time. I mean, Kevin Lee is a little unpolished, I think.
I feel like he's too short.
But he talks. Or Conor's too long. And talks. So selling that fight, they both dress really weird, and they're both very odd. They both just jaw all of the time. I mean, Tony Ferguson is a smart dude, and when he jaws, sometimes it's good. But Kevin Lee is a polarizing character, just like Conor McGregor is a polarizing character.
For how deep that division is, neither of them seem like they've really fought that many of the top tier in that division, though.
I feel Ferguson has.
I don't know. I was looking it up a few days ago, and it seemed like there was only like one or two big names that he's fought in there.
Well, since you can't use your phone, I got mine right here. I know. He beat Edson Barbosa.
Darce, right?
He beat Gleison Tibau, which doesn't really matter. Yeah. He beat him. He beat RDA.
Yeah, RDA is a big one.
He beat Edson Barbosa is huge now, mm-hmm. and he beat him by submission.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Thompson is now in Bellator, so it's not as big of a deal. Gleison Tibau is a gatekeeper. Danny Castillo is no longer in the UFC. I mean, I guess you're kind
of
right.
To be fair, though, I mean, he had like a lot of the time when he was fighting these people, they were top 10. And then for the last 2 years, they've been trying to make him versus Khabib. And both of them keep pulling out.
Yeah.
So
right, yeah, I'm not blaming it by any means. But Kevin Lee, I mean,
called him. He's on his way to fight you.
Good. I'll take him out.
He's pissed.
And Kevin Lee, his biggest fight was with Michael Chiesa, right? Like mm-hmm. or Chiesa, I guess.
Chiesa.
Which was kind of a downer how that thing ended, but
yeah,
obviously he won that fight, I think. But
I mean, Kevin Lee's lost to Al Iaquinta, who's ranked above him, and yet he's getting an
interview. Who sells houses now.
So now, yeah, he's a real estate agent. If you need a house, if you need a house in the New York or New Jersey area, hit up Al Iaquinta. But, I mean, Kevin Lee is a perfect example of talking yourself into a title fight. He lost Al Iaquinta. He lost five fights ago. He lost. He beat Efren Escudero, no longer in the UFC. Jake Matthews, whoever the hell that is. Magomed Mustafayev. Francisco Turnaldo and Michael Chiesa. So Chiesa is his biggest win. I've never been a fan of Kevin Lee. I don't like how he talks. I don't like that he hasn't fought anybody. I don't like that he just is cocky as shit. I just don't like Kevin Lee. Now, watching him and... sorry, who?
Or Nate Bjornheim.
That's for completely different reasons. That's the exact opposite reasons.
Thanks for the 12 ounce, Nate.
Hey, at least he didn't take it for himself. But nonetheless, like, I'm not a big fan of Kevin Lee. But watching him and freaking Tony Ferguson jaw is a good time. Watching him basically jaw toward all of the fighters is a good time. So I like Kevin Lee because he's at least entertaining and he's at least polarizing. And like
moving the division, earlier,
most people aren't. And we're finally getting fights in that division.
Him and Justin Gaethje, they're both moving the division. Like people are starting to match make and call other people out.
I think they finally set that up. I think 218 is going to be Alvarez versus Gaethje.
Well, they're doing the Ultimate Fighter right now, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think they haven't actually made it.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I think I just read it on Reddit.
I guess I need to get back up on the news, but I've been depressed on UFC or MMA in general for the last little bit.
Yeah, man, I feel like there's nothing that really draws a ton of people in. Well, and we discuss this all the time.
They just lost all their stars. I mean, Ronda's out, Jones is out. I mean,
Nemesis. Like, Cormier, I think, is almost going to be done, but like, Misha. She's gone. Like, even the people that are the counterweight to their fighter.
Joanna's cleared out that division. DJ's cleared out his division.
I mean, you have to go through these. They'll come back. But in the meantime, it's just like, yeah, it's kind of boring.
There could be just a 2 months at the beginning of the year where they throw Nate and Connor against each other. And then Ronda could come back and fight Cyborg. Holly versus Cyborg.
Please don't.
Yeah, I mean, and then all of a sudden they're doing like a ton of buys again. So
yeah, honestly, I think if I'm the UFC, I would create more weight divisions. I'd go every 10 pounds, and then you'd have way more super fights.
I would make the same amount, but as I've said on this thing, cut the bottom two divisions.
But here's the problem with that. You guys, all of us, I think I probably watched the most actual MMA here.
Sure.
And I can't catch all of the cards. You make more weight divisions, there's going to be more fights and more cards, and people are still going to miss those cards.
No, you can, no, you can cut it off the back end. Like, you don't have to have as many fighters in each division. Like, do we really need more than 15 fighters in every division? And on top of that, I don't want more weight divisions. 15, I just want them redistributed.
Yeah. I just think you have more fighters that go up and go down, and you have more title fights, and you have more fights for multiple belts. Like, say what you will about the belt being meaningless now. If there's a belt on the line, more people pay attention.
Yeah. That's why they make interim belts.
Yeah, right, it's something that's promoted a little bit more.
Except for the best selling card was there was no belt, right?
Which card was that?
Nate Connor, two.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the exception to the rule, though. I mean, there's a reason why they're creating so many interim belts now versus like 5 years ago. It was like, wait, you had to be out. I mean, how many years was Dominic Cruz out before they came up with an interim belt? Now it's like Connor McGregor is out for a month and they...
Can we just do away with that? Just do away with interim belts. Just go do away with them.
But no one's going to buy tickets. I mean, look at UFC Glasgow or UFC like Frankfurt or UFC wherever random places, Singapore. There's very few people. Only diehards are going to tune in. Even if you throw a belt on that, I mean, more people are going to tune in. Absolutely. But unless you build up fighters that you can get on those cards and make a name for themselves that go 6-0, 7-0, 8-0, like Borrachina, who's now fighting, who's Borrachina? Vitor Belfort?
No.
No.
No, he's fighting...
Who is it?
Oh, I was just talking about this with a guy at work, and I think it...
He's fighting a legitimate fighter.
Yeah, well, I think he's going to destroy him.
What is this called?
Oh my gosh, this is going to drive me nuts.
I just had it on my phone. That's the most irritating part.
I think it creates a lot more better fights, I guess, and the really good fights that a lot of people aren't paying attention to, now people pay attention to that.
With belts, right? With interim belts.
And I think it's better for the fighters, too, because there's less weight cutting, there's less missing weight or getting pulled from cards because you get sick from the weight cut or whatnot. Just do every 10 pounds up to maybe up to 205 and then maybe have a 225 and then you're 265. Like,
I agree with that. I actually like that idea. We discussed that. I don't understand. I don't necessarily.
It's Hendricks.
Hendricks.
And Hendricks is going to lose.
Oh, yeah. I think he's the sacrificial lamb for Borrachina to get a name under his belt.
I just don't want to get to the every like five or every two or whatever boxing got to. I honestly don't even know, but I like 10, like every 10 pounds all the way up.
10's good.
Mm.
And then, but the hard part is if you go up, right? A lot of people are like, cut off the heavyweight division at 245 or 235 or no 225 and then add in like a super heavyweight. Nah. And I think super heavyweight would be absolutely awful.
That's your Travis freak shows that you know, only him would watch. But yeah,
I think you cut that off. You can cut the bottom ones and then you cut the top ones. And I think
you're doing it for the benefit of the heavier guys, not the lighter ones, because the lighter guys usually win anyways. So
they've got better cardio. They stay out of the way of the punches, and they end up usually peppering it out until a knockout.
See, I don't mind the lightweights because every now and then you get somebody like a Uriah Faber that comes in that had those belts existed, you know, 3 or 4 years before they existed, you'd have a big draw there. I mean, I don't hate the lightweights. For the most part, they're pretty boring. But
I don't think they're boring. Some of them are some of the more exciting fights. The fighters themselves have nowhere to go. When DJ is – no one's going to beat DJ, just like with Ronda Rousey for a couple fights where I was like, who's going to beat her? Like, what's the point of watching any of the rest of these people fight each other? Because who cares who fights Ronda Rousey? They're not going to win. And then as soon as she lost, and then Misha lost, and then Nunes came in, like, everything changed one after another. I mean, it's still not the most exciting division, but at least there's a potential of someone losing. So you kind of want to know who's up and coming, who's going to actually potentially dethrone the champion.
See, I think the difference, though, is people were paying attention to Ronda's fights because she was finishing all of her fights. Everybody wanted to watch that. They wanted to watch this badass
bitch.
Well,
DJ finishes.
Not in the same way, though.
Not dominantly. I mean, dominantly, yes. But he's not tossing in the first round, hip tossing someone into an armbar.
Yeah, he's not knocking guys out.
But he
cold most of the time.
Well, she never did that either. But once, like,
and she shit herself. Who has DJ made shit themselves?
Probably Cejudo.
Didn't he? Yeah, he did poop himself, didn't he?
Oh, I have no idea.
Someone did in Activision.
I still think she is more interesting just because, one, she was a dominant female, strong female character, and so she pulled a whole different demographic. That's not to say that she only appealed to women. She was a very, very good fighter. She's good at what she did.
She was attractive.
But there's no crossover for DJ.
Enough.
And I don't think there's ever going to be. I've always been an advocate for the smaller weight divisions. That's why Travis, me and him always argue. But 125, 135 just doesn't even move the needle. This is the last fight I think I'll be interested in a while.
Well, I mean, you'd be interested with Garbrandt going down, though, right?
He won't.
I bet he does.
He was talking about going up. I don't think he can make 125.
I feel like DJ has to go up after this. I mean, after he wins the title, if he doesn't go up, there's no reason for him to continue to really just beat people in that division.
Who are even interested in that division?
I mean, if you're making, I don't know, like, if you're making $300K a fight and not getting touched, like, I'd do it.
Is he not even $300K though?
I think so.
I don't know what he's.
I have no idea.
He might be pay per view points, whatever else, but like, he's never going to be the head of a pay per view ever.
But still, $300K is a lot of money. I mean, yeah. I'd take it.
Yeah, so would I.
On Twitch.
I could tell you that he probably makes more than the average person on a Twitch sponsorship because he uses his notoriety to sell.
People,
right?
Wait, people get sponsored on that?
Oh, dude, that's what my job is.
All right, yeah, we need it. Yeah. I'm in a different universe.
I literally find people on Twitch to play games and pay them money to do it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
and he just makes a Twitch account and pays nobody and just has them pay him.
Yep.
That's his... But he still doesn't get a ton, right?
I embezzle. Oh, wait. Demetrius Johnson?
Just gets his ass kicked on Dark Souls a lot.
Well, no, I mean, he was invited out to an event. Like, he gets invited out to events all the time to compete with, like, other people. Like, he's celebrity status type people.
And honestly, like, I think that's his route, is going to do commentary, because I think he does have a voice there. He just has nothing else to prove in fighting.
He doesn't even do a lot of commentary. I feel like...
He could, though. I feel like he could.
Those guys do more.
He does. Well, he doesn't do a lot, but I feel like he has a good voice. I like listening to him, like, talk about fights, breaking them down. I feel like that's the route he'll eventually go. He's just going to be like a quarterback in the NFL. Like, he's eventually just going to do that somewhere. But
I just don't feel like we're ever going to look back at DJ's fights and be like, dude, do you remember when GSP fought BJ Penn? Or do you remember when Chuck Liddell fought Rashad Evans? I don't think we're ever going to look back at any of DJ's fights and be like, dude, you remember that super sweet DJ fight when he fought so-and-so? That was awesome. We all got together. We all hung out, and it was a great card, and here's what happened. I can't even remember, you know, Wilson Hayes, I remember he beat. But, like, when we get into the Formigas and we get into the Cejudos, like, I can remember.
The Cejudo one was way impressive because he beat him in the clinch.
Well, I mean, Benavidez and Ian McCall when it was
And Hayes was also way awesome. But they're also the most recent. Go back after that. It's like Tim Elliott. Oh, I remember Elliott picked up a few rounds and he ended up just destroying him after that. But it's like, I don't remember how the fight went.
DJ lost to like Brian Bowles, like one of his first fights, like either WEC or like UFC. I can't even remember what it was. No, Miguel Torres beat him too. And the Miguel Torres went on like a 30-fight losing streak.
30?
It was pretty intense. That's a lot of losses, man. He was like 40. No, for real though. He was like 47-0.
Like Bob Sapp losing streak.
He was like 47-0, man. And then he just started dropping fight after fight after fight.
Again, in bar fights, and they're just counting that on Wikipedia.
That's basically what it was, man. He was like 47-0.
Counting Mortal Kombat or something.
And then all of a sudden, that division started to get good. And then nobody, like, he lost to everybody. It was almost like Jens Pulver, man. When Jens Pulver was the guy at 135. And then all of a sudden, he lost to Joe Lozon.
And then coached him.
And then just lost to Uriah Faber like 9 times in a row because that's the only person in the weight division they could fight. Like, that was the WEC days. But with that, that was a whole bunch of banter and a whole bunch of – I liked it because everyone had different opinions. It was a good time.
I didn't like it. You all did terrible.
And I was right every time.
Except for when it came to the name.
I'm just glad we're all John Jones fans now.
You converted me.
Yeah. The thing is the one thing I can't separate is like the whole who cares what they do off the field because they're great on the field, and I'm not one of those guys.
The one thing I can't separate is why there was Turnabout and dick pills. It just never added up for me. I don't know why that was a thing.
You know what I can't separate? Water and oil. For some random reason, they just stay together the entire time.
It's a wild universe.
that's not true. They separate immediately. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. Go share this episode with your friends so you can prove that you've heard of us first. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Oh, thanks, Todd, again, too.
Bam. First podcast.
Woo, you did it. You made it through.
Pop that cherry.
Yeah.
Oh, great.